You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to your favorite day of the week. This is Locked On NBA. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined, as always, by Adam Mars. Adam, you were, last time we spoke, you were all kinds of excited. You were on the bandwagon for the Denver Nuggets, and then the bandwagon promptly got a flat tire.
Was I?
Yeah, you were. You can go back and listen to it. You were saying that you were on the Nuggets bandwagon. I'm back on, and all that excitement.
Look, man. Nuggets fans all year have been wondering how everything would end, and it ended in what I think was the second worst way, the last game of the season. The second to last game against Portland would have been slightly worse, I think. So fortunately, they avoided that. So this outcome actually felt like a win.
It was fun. It was fun. And we're going to talk about, basically today's show, we're going to preview the playoffs. I want to talk about play-in games because of how much fun last night was. Then we're going to get to some storylines and teams that are most likely to be upset or that could upset the team that they're playing. All of that good stuff. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone, Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, anywhere you can find podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Adam Harrison. Yeah, you don't want to follow Harrison on Twitter. But you can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam_Morris. I write for Lakers Outsiders. He writes for Denver Stiffs. He hosts Locked On Nuggets. I host Locked On Lakers. Let's go ahead and get to this, though. Last night, or yesterday, or a couple days ago, depending on when you're listening to this, the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves played essentially a play-in game. Game 82 mattered and you know, essentially not actually knocked the Denver Nuggets out of the playoffs, and it was so much fun. It was an extra playoff game that went to overtime. So we got like extra playoff atmosphere.
It was so fun that the NBA called an audible and moved the game onto NBA TV. Almost to national television.
Almost there. It's
not
a good
quite.
Thing. It's a good thing everybody watching ESPN was able to watch the Milwaukee Bucks tank themselves out of playing LeBron in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Lakers weren't on for so that would have been the only thing that would have been a little bit more peak. But no, Minnesota and Denver, I think two NBA siblings really in a lot of ways because they've had some bad luck in key moments. And so it was kind of an interesting game that, like you said, went down to the wire and was a really fun game with a lot of compelling storylines. And I think most fans following basketball Twitter that night, it seemed like everybody was kind of tuned into it.
It was incredible. Would you be down? So what I'd like to do is I'd like to expand both sides of the playoff picture, the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, by a single team and have the 8 and 9 seed essentially play each other in both of those conferences, and that winner plays the number one overall seed in each conference. Would you be okay with that kind of thing? It's essentially a game seven between two obviously evenly matched teams, right? These two teams are going to be close inherently in the standings and in terms of schedule or a record and all that. I just think it'd be so much fun. And really, there's nothing better than NBA players just legitimately caring about every single possession of an NBA game.
I think you've had a lot of bad ideas in the 4 years I've known you, and this is probably right up there with it. I mean, and you've had some really bad ones. When I say bad, I mean some really bad ideas. No, no, I'm only teasing. It's not that bad of an idea, but I am opposed to it for a couple reasons. It gave us this one great night, which I think everybody found to be really, really fun. I think a tournament for lottery draft odds or something like that would be more fun. When you make a playoffs, you have an 82-game season. If you really come down to one-game playoff, they do this in baseball, and I just find it the silliest thing that you would play for 6 months, and then no matter what happened in that 6 months, it's all out the window because now this one game is more important than all of that. You could have injuries. You could have bad luck here or there, whatever it is in one game. So I just don't like it. Does it create greater theater? Yes. This is why the March Madness tournament is so fun. Not because the basketball is amazing, but because Maryland, Baltimore County can upset the number one team in the nation in any given night. So do I want the NBA to become that? No, I don't. I don't think so. But it sure made for some good theater this one time.
which city is most likely to produce a sister gene of the NBA? Like, who do you think? Like, which team celebrity? Like, who starts dressing up like sister gene?
It's gotta be Portland. Like, yeah. I could see Lumberjack Jim or something. Yeah.
Shouts to Danny Meringue. Like, that's he's already there. I agree with every point that you're making that. Taking an entire 82-game sample size and then filtering it down to a one-game thing is inherently stupid and unfair. I am all for stupid and unfair, though. Like, that is literally my existence. It's just so much.
But think about this, Anthony. You're right.
So much fun.
You want the theater, but, you know, I don't want the theater and things that matter to that regard. The one thing I think is dumb is the NBA draft lottery. And, like,
yeah.
Okay, so Denver enters now at the 14th seed for the second year in a row, 14th best odds to win the lottery for the second year in a row. They're in NBA purgatory, and it really is it could be end up being a thing that's so damning for them in this rebuild that it really lowers their ceiling significantly. Now, if there was a play-in tournament right now to increase your playoff or your lottery odds by,
I see
like
where 2%, you're coming from now.
Now, this could be really, really fun and really, really interesting. The stakes are much lower. Like, if Denver lost a game, for example, their odds go from 2% to 0.5%. Like, okay, that's no big deal. But, you know, I still think it would have some kind of skin in the game. It would make for things a little bit more interesting.
My only concern there is that you're asking NBA players to win games to have a better chance at finding their replacement. Like, that's
you have found the flaw in the logic.
A little problematic there. All right, we're going to take a quick second. When we come back, we're going to talk about the storylines heading into the first round of the playoffs. It's going to be Adam and I are going to be kind of wet blankets. I can't lie. We'll be back here in a bit. So, heading until yesterday, the matchups that I wanted to see Golden State play against Oklahoma City, especially without Steph in the picture. I wanted to see Houston play against San Antonio. That would have been stuff that I would be interested in watching in the Eastern Conference. I wanted to see I would have loved to seen, I don't think it could have happened because Philadelphia caught fire there at the very end. They won 16 in a row heading into the playoffs, but I would have liked to have seen Cleveland and Philly meet in the first round of the playoffs. Now we're just going to see LeBron own the city of Indiana the way that he has seemingly like the last 25 years. Still though, there are some storylines that caught our eye. Which way would you go? What's the number one thing that you're looking for in terms of just narrative and storyline in the first round of the playoffs?
In the Eastern Conference. We're starting in the East,
We'll start in the East, yeah.
I think it's got to be the 76ers. It's almost as loud as 76ers writers and fans are. This has almost got a little bit under the radar. They've won 16 in a row. 16. And they've done half of that without Joel Embiid. They are such an intriguing playoff team. And anytime you get a young and experienced team like this, they can win 16 in a row and then lose 4 in a row just because it's new territory. It's uncharted territory for them. But if in this first round they look like they have for the last 16 games, I think it really changes the complexion of the league. And I think if they make a nice playoff run here in their first ticket to the dance and they make a run, I think it puts the whole league on notice in a very, very, very real way.
Absolutely. You're talking about a team that, you know, we always talk about the Philadelphia 76ers, like if everything comes together, that it could really take off. Well, guess what, guys?
It came together.
my storyline that I'm looking forward to is the Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks matchup. You have Brad Stevens is incredible in these situations where you kind of doubt the stuff that's going on in Boston. It's kind of the bummer. Like it's a bummer here that I would have liked to seen Brad Stevens with expectations. Now he gets to once again just kind of skate by. Obviously he would trade it in a second, in a heartbeat. But he gets to kind of skate by with lowered expectations given all the injuries with Boston. But for Milwaukee, look, you have a generational talent in Giannis, and I just you can't waste seasons with this kind of talent. And it's hard not to feel like the Milwaukee Bucks being the seventh seed with a guy as good as Milwaukee as Giannis is, that they've kind of they have a negative point differential heading into the playoffs. It's hard not to feel like they're kind of sort of letting him down in this sense. And a first round exit with this guy as he enters like his year 24 season, and given the way that he plays, I don't want Giannis to be a what if, and I hope Milwaukee puts it together, and I think they actually can put it together against Boston in this first round.
I don't have a lot of confidence in Milwaukee having an inspired run. Can they beat Boston? I think so. I think Boston is probably the most vulnerable team, thanks to injuries, really. I mean, if they were a healthy team, I think they smoke Milwaukee easily in this series. You mentioned Milwaukee, the only team in the Eastern Conference, I think the only team in either conference, with a negative point differential. They're just not a good team. And I think Giannis, at this point in his career, you do look at it and say they've never really had a great team around him. I don't think that he's in like an ideal situation by any means. That being said, you know, you're right. Very unfairly, these narratives about players and coaches, I think that people get reputations often very, very unfairly. Boston hasn't really lost it's not that they're losing to teams they're clearly so much better than and getting outcoached left and right. This is another series where they're very shorthanded. Things haven't gone their way, but they're playing maybe the worst or second worst team in the playoffs. So it's kind of an interesting one. I don't know if it'd be a disappointment if Boston lost in the first. I think it'd be a disappointment, but I don't know that it would be that shocking if they were to lose in the first round. And so that's what makes that matchup intriguing. Also making the matchup intriguing, a very ugly green on green matchup. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah. I'm not on board with that. Somebody has to wear alternate jerseys every night. Like whether it's black jerseys or white jerseys or gray jerseys, somebody has to do something. That's just too much green. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Western Conference.
Well, I did want to make one quick note here. The Toronto Raptors, I looked at the TV schedule, already delegated to NBA TV. I feel that very this year, where we just talked about how unexciting this Eastern Conference first round slate is, they're already the NBA TV team.
Poor Toronto. Poor Toronto. All right, let's go to the Western Conference. I'll start with storylines here in the Western Conference. To me, I think the number one storyline that I'm really interested in watching is Portland and New Orleans. That matchup is great. You have, again, the similar situation as I can make all the same points basically about Anthony Davis that I just made about Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then with Portland, it's like we said heading into this stuff, is that I want to see if this is the peak. Is this the best that Portland is ever going to be? And is that peak good enough? You know, they are a very strong team. I think just based off of what I'm looking at here, they have the third best point differential heading into the playoffs. That's kind of my barometer when I look at quality of teams. I was looking at Golden State.
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong one. They're definitely not. And actually, it's kind of opposite of my notes here, which is first, they're not that good. And it's not that they're bad. They belong in the playoffs. They deserve it.
I can't read. I'm ducking dyslexic, babe. I'm sorry.
You look at every team in the Western Conference 3 through 9, and all of the teams have suffered a major injury. Robertson in Oklahoma City, Gobert in Utah, Cousins in New Orleans, Kawhi in San Antonio, Butler at the Timberwolves, and with Denver, Millsap. Portland didn't have that. They had a couple mini injuries, but they didn't have the big injury. And they're a team that is one game ahead of all those other teams in the standing. And now you go into a playoff setting. I just don't know that they're great. They're also limping into the playoffs, having lost 7 of 12. And you talk about no major injuries. They do have a minor one, and this just shows how vulnerable they are. They didn't lose Lillard. They didn't lose McCollum, and they didn't lose Nurkic, but they lost Mo Harkless. And that loss shows just how I think fragile that team is, because that coincides with a bit of the slide, and that could be a difference maker in a series. A lot of their best lineups and their most used lineups featured him at the 3 and Aminu at the 4. They're not going to be able to go to those.
We're going to take a quick second, and then I'm going to get Adam's thoughts or his favorite storyline in the Western Conference. And then finally, we're going to talk about teams that we think are most likely to be upset, who could hand out that upset, all that here in a second. All right, your number one storyline in the Western Conference, which is, I mean, both you and I were talking before we went on the air. Slightly disappointing how everything kind of played out, right? Like, we don't get D'Antoni against Houston or against San Antonio. We don't get Golden State against OKC. But still, what's your favorite narrative heading into or storyline that you'd like to see addressed in the first round here?
This really isn't a great storyline, and so I've kind of phoned in this answer because, like you said, I'm not horribly interested in the West. I think the second round of both conferences is going to be great. The first round, there could be some upsets, but I'm not as invested. How many points can Houston score per game? That's what I'm excited about. They went 4-0 against Minnesota. Minnesota, one of the worst defenses in all of the NBA. And the lowest point total that Houston had in their four games with Minnesota was 116. They scored 120, 130 every time they played. I think that that's a series that we could see some video game numbers for this Houston team.
Low-key, something to keep an eye on with Houston is that Mbamute injury. He dislocated his shoulder against the Lakers in their last game or second-to-last game of their season.
Right.
And look, James Harden has improved defensively, but Mbamute enables them to he's just a really good role player for them and enables to do things defensively and make up for some of James Harden's defensive inefficiencies. And he happens to play a position that in their matchup against the Minnesota Timberwolves, Jimmy Butler is right there, and you could use as many able bodies to go up against that kind of a player. I still think Minnesota wins running away against those guys, but that injury to Mbamute is not small.
I think another real interesting storyline, and this is just where the NBA can sometimes the outcomes aren't exciting, but how it happens is there's a lot of star power, not just star power. There's a lot of superstar power in this first round of the Western Conference. And so one storyline will just be, you know, who looks the best, which player. If Anthony Davis averaged 35 a game in this playoff series, I don't think that would be a shock. Same goes for Damian Lillard, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, James Harden. There's a lot of guys capable of just having these insane playoff runs, and I'm curious to see which player does that.
All right, let's start. We'll go back to the Eastern Conference here, and we will start with who you think is most likely to potentially get upset in the first round. I think we both agree that it's Boston because of injuries, but I'll let you build on that point.
Yeah, I think Boston is probably the most vulnerable. And to be honest with you, the only team I don't think is horribly vulnerable, and this is really weird to say, is the Toronto Raptors. I mean, the Washington Wizards have some players, but, you know, they've been in disarray, and they just quite frankly haven't been that good, especially down the stretch. So I think that's the only series I look at that I wouldn't be horribly surprised at. And then, of course, LeBron and Indiana. Indiana's been a great story, but LeBron James in the first round, we know how that goes in the playoffs. It's usually a massacre, and so I think those two are not vulnerable. But Boston, vulnerable just because they're so injured. And then Miami-Philadelphia is an interesting one because Philadelphia – young talent, I think significantly more talented than Miami, but Miami is such a they're kind of the Spurs of the East in a lot of ways. And so you throw a young team out against a team that executes so well. They bring their bigs out on the perimeter like Kelly Olynyk and can play him outside. And it's a different dynamic. So that series, as high as I am on Philadelphia, I think there's some interesting dynamics in that one.
My phone agrees with you about about Boston or about Philadelphia and Miami. Here's the thing that I'm kind of looking at with Philadelphia. This is going to be their city is riding insanely high, right? Villanova, the Eagles, right? Even the Phillies have kind of like played a little better early on in the season than some people might have predicted. Although I'm not fully sold on Gabe Kapler as a manager. Any different show altogether. But the Philadelphia 76ers have so much to live up to. And if they, let's just say they drop game one, there's going to be, because I don't think Embiid is going to be able to play in game one, right? So let's say they lose game one to the Miami Heat and lose home court advantage to, like you talked about, a just an insanely stable organization. Just given how things have kind of gone for the Philadelphia 76ers over the course of their history, you're going to start to see some of those mumblings and grumblings throughout the fan base. And I'm interested to see when that first speed bump comes, how that team deals with it, given how little experience they have, not just in terms of players, but like Brett Brown has never coached in the playoffs. The Colangelos have been there, but only because the NBA keeps putting them in really cush situations. And so I want to see how, you know, Ben Simmons reacts. He didn't play in the NCAA tournament in college. So I want to see how he handles that kind of a big moment. It's just Philadelphia is such an interesting team. I can't wait to see how a young team deals with the drama that comes with the NBA playoffs. All right, let's head to the Western Conference and wrap this up. It's hard to say that there's really going to be an upset when you're talking about teams 3 through 8 being within 2 losses of each other.
Right. Yes. So, if the last day of the season went differently, the underdogs would be the favorites and vice versa. So,
but just given the constraints of the conversation that we're having, is there a team that you're looking at that is most capable of being quote unquote upset here?
Well, we talked about it earlier, and for me, it's just Portland. And I don't think New Orleans is a world beater. I think Portland would have been much more vulnerable against, you know, Oklahoma City or Utah, maybe even Minnesota. You could make a case. But nonetheless, New Orleans, the best player in the series is Anthony Davis. And anytime the underdog is that close, I mean, they're basically have the same record, and the underdog has the best player in a series, you got to at least, you know, raise your eyebrows and wonder if Anthony Davis single-handedly can carry them to a title. And then on top of that, Nurkic, a big part of Portland's team, but one of the things he has a hard time with is foul trouble. And Anthony Davis, very good at drawing fouls.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't shock me at all if New Orleans walks away with an upset there. And then, you know, the team that I was looking at that could get upset here, and again, they have the same record, Oklahoma City and Utah does, right? So, and 4 or 5 upsets, like, sure, they're technically upsets because one is a lower seed than the other, but I still think, though, Utah as a matchup, given how they defend, and that lineup of Mitchell, Rubio, Ingles, Gobert, and I think, is it Favors? I forget. I think either Favors, and I think they have another guard there. And it's just, it's such a fun team to watch. And given the way that Oklahoma City plays and the ups and downs, like, I don't think any team in the Western Conference has a higher gap between peaks and valleys than Oklahoma City. And if they go through that valley kind of moment in the wrong moment against Utah, that could wind up being a pretty short series. I guess I don't really believe in Oklahoma City right now. I'd feel differently if Robertson was playing, but I can't get myself to feel good about Oklahoma City heading into this round. I actually think it would be an upset if they won in the first round, Oklahoma City.
I think Utah, I could see that as well. I think Utah will have a tough time scoring. You know, they'll be relying so much on Mitchell. They have all season, obviously, the leading scorer on that team. So that's the one thing that gives me pause. And 2 great home courts. Utah, maybe the best home court advantage in all of basketball. Oklahoma City, incredible home court. So that will be a very energy action-packed series where the scores might finish 90-88.
Yep, it might be a constipated series. And to your point, Oklahoma City finished the season 27-14 at home. Utah finished 28-13 at home. That's home court advantage is going to be huge. And it's kind of funny that you were talking about home court advantage between two teams that have the exact same record. This Western Conference was insane this year. All right, let's wrap this up on a high note. Do you have a funniest moment, whether it be from last night or from the NBA season overall? Do you have a funniest moment that you can point to? What was the one thing that you really enjoyed this year?
Well, it's that Portland and New Orleans in the first round will make up the first ever porno series. Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
You might have caused a couple accidents. I can't lie. I'm not going to be able to beat that. I can't lie. That's pretty great. My favorite moment last night was anybody who doubted for even a millisecond that Russell Westbrook was getting sick, was not going to get 16.
He had it in like 12 minutes.
Dude grabbed, I think it was like 22 minutes that he played, and he grabbed 18 rebounds. There's an image on Twitter where him and another guy from his team went up for the same rebound, and if looks could kill, Russell Westbrook just killed a teammate in an image to grab that. He boxed out Carmelo Anthony for a play. That was pretty incredible. Still not as good as your porno observation, though. That's pretty great. Mm-hmm. That'll do it for this episode and the last episode of Locked On NBA Friday edition, as we get ready for the playoffs. It's going to be fun. I look, no matter what, just playoff basketball, playoff NBA basketball is pretty tough to beat. Adam and I are really looking forward to it. Next week, we'll get into what we've seen early on in these playoff matchups, and we'll figure out what's going on there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, make sure you guys are following the show everywhere that you can find podcasts. You can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam_Morris. You can follow me on Twitter at AnthonyIrwinLA. Look for our shows, Locked On Nuggets, in which I'm pretty – was your show just basically you sadly drinking into the mic yesterday? Or?
No, of course not. Like I said, the Nuggets were used to this. We have accepted this fate, and we embrace it with a smile on our face. My site is called Denver Stiffs. We embrace our – we are stiffs. That's who we are.
I can't really losers. Talk. The Lakers have once again fallen 10 games short of the playoffs for like the fifth or sixth straight year. So I can't really talk about it in that regard. But follow our shows. I'm Locked On Lakers. He is Locked On Nuggets. Denver Stiffs, as he mentioned. Locked Lakers Outsiders, as I mentioned earlier. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.